You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Are you frustrated and confused about how to attract new clients? Nothing you have done is working, and you're tired of waiting for the phone to ring. Imagine learning the tips and tools that will help you get noticed and booked by your ideal client, and paid what you're worth for your amazing services. Now's the time to make your dream a reality, and the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show will teach you how. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
Welcome to another show. This is episode 191. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, brand and communications strategist, also known as the Podcasting Queen. Did you know that Australia's gross domestic product was up by $1.56 trillion in 2013, down to $1.33 trillion in 2015, and up slightly in 2016? And according to my guest today, none of this macro economy matters one bit to Australia's SME market. Showing us what does and what should matter to SMEs is Wes Hone. Wes teaches business owners how to build highly profitable and highly influential businesses in order to change culture. And on today's show, Wes is going to share how to make good money from Facebook from someone who has, as well as how business should benefit society and not just us as the business owner. So welcome to the show, Wes.
Great to be with you, Anne-Marie.
Look, I love speaking with business owners who have, through their journey, they've been able to experience success, and particularly from like-minded business owners who are not only here to make a difference in business for themselves and, you know, obviously the team that is employed by your business, but also the society and our community as a whole. And I know that this is something that's very important to you as well. So just explain a little bit about your business background and who Wes Hone is.
Sure. Well, I mean, I've always loved business. My earliest memories were trying to, you know, play shop and do write checks and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And wasn't particularly studious, kind of struggled a little bit, in fact, in the area of school. And I just knew that I wanted to be a business guy. So from my earliest memories, in fact, the first business I had was my first year of high school. I was back in the UK at the time. And the craze was juggling balls. So I would go, and every afternoon I'd ride down to the shops and buy bags of chickpeas and come home and cut my board shorts up and make juggling balls and sell them at lunchtime. And it was just the way I was wired. And you know, that went well. And then so did some other things. And then when I was 18, I came to Australia at 14. I went back at 19. And then I started my first official business as a window cleaner, and me and a friend built that to 800 houses wow. on a 6-week cycle. And we did that a couple of times. We would build and sell. And then in Australia, you know, I did telco. I brokered technology for a while. I had a software development business. I had a garden maintenance company, a turf delivery business. And all of those were just build and sell for the mm-hmm. purpose of learning how to do business.
Yeah,
and then I started the coaching practice in 2006, and you know, now we coach all across the world with different business people, but we have a slightly different bent on how we're doing it. You know, it's not just make profit so you can have nice things. There's bigger reasons for doing it now.
Yeah. Absolutely. We certainly will dive in a little bit deeper into that in a moment, because as you mentioned in the profile that you sent through to us, there are lots of case studies that you've experienced and obviously through your clients that they've experienced that are seeing significant growth in their business whilst benefiting society. So I'm really looking forward to you sharing some more of that in a moment. Let's talk about Facebook, because I know that this is something that you've mentioned your business is doing really well. And I know that many people who are listening to the show have, you know, made a profile on Facebook and are updating regularly, but they're struggling. So I'd love for you to share some of the things that you've noticed. Maybe there's things that you're doing differently that have, you know, you think that really have promoted that success.
Well, at the moment, it is my best friend, Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is an advertising platform in the world that even goes close to providing what Facebook can provide. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always like that. You know, there are a lot of people that spent a lot of time and maybe some money on Facebook and didn't get anywhere. But, you know, like back, it was once an infant and then a toddler and an adolescent, but today Facebook is an adult. It's preeminent in its space. And so I've always kind of treated it a bit seriously. And, my own thesis currently is that over the next 12 to 18 months, somebody is going to own the mind of the people in their industry, in their geographical area. Mm. So you'll be able to walk down the street in any area and ask 10 people, can you name a mechanic? And 8 of them will say the same one. And I think it's going to be Facebook and maybe a few other platforms complementary to that, that's going to create that top of mind. And it's effectively a gold rush. Australia had the gold rush in the 1850s. I believe we're living through exactly the same again. It's just a digital space. I'm super excited about it. I think it's amazing.
You mentioned that at one stage you were using Facebook. You weren't really generating the success that you are now, that Facebook is your best friend. What changed for your business? What changed? What did you do differently?
Well, I think I used to put out, like everybody else, just content for content's sake. Not being particularly strategic about it. And obviously with the advent of business pages, and they've obviously been around quite some time, but with the advent of business pages and the ad platform and the targeting now, like literally we can get an ad to any demographic that we ever want to, and then we don't have to waste money on anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like I couldn't find anybody to teach me, so I just went about running, hundreds and hundreds of different campaigns with my own money to find out what does and doesn't work. And that's where we're at today. We're at a platform where literally through smart strategic targeting, you can get your point to any person you choose.
Mm-hmm. Did you change your content strategy? Like you mentioned before that it was content for content's sake, but in that process, did you align your content to speak more clearly to a target audience then, or the content remained the same? It was just the targeting and the use of the platform that changed.
I think we changed massively. Because obviously we teach a little bit of this. I used to teach people that the way that you got Facebook to work was you put up tons of content. And the way you hacked the Facebook algorithm was you put lots of things in front of people. Therefore, people engaged more, which meant they saw more. That was the way you used to do it.
Yeah.
Now Facebook are very smart. That just simply doesn't work. Now the big shift is to, like, you're better off now to put out less content and make it truly amazing. And creativity is the key. It just can't be a Facebook meme anymore, for the sake of filling a space. We've got to put our creative hat on and start to put ourselves in our customer's shoes. And here's the real key is not selling. Never, ever, ever selling through your content. You've got to just go all in, double down, huge value. And it's because no one trusts anybody anymore. So if somebody's looking at your content and they can sniff that you've got an agenda, they'll run a mile.
Yeah.
We've got to be smarter about and more strategic about the way that we use Facebook and not just go for the jugular on the piece of content that we're giving out. We've just got to double down on the content, give so much into the relationship, and then use the Facebook platform to, for example, pixel them and retarget them with the offers based on the things that they told us they like.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And are you finding that there's a mixture of creative media, for instance, video, text, graphics? Do you use a mixture of those, or do you tend to favour one particular media to another?
I prefer video because it's just what I lend myself to. Mm-hmm. And it's easy because we run so many seminars and events, it's easy to capture that content for us.
Yes.
But that wouldn't be everybody. It would depend a little bit on my niche. If I was an author, it would probably lend itself to written most of the time. So I go across the platform. My concern is not necessarily format. It's more making sure that it is highly valuable and really doubling down on giving away all my best secrets.
Yeah.
Because no one trusts anybody. You've got to go with your best stuff. And there are people out there that'll teach you, give them a little bit and then bring them to the next level and give them a little bit more and bring them to the next level like a funnel.
Mm-hmm.
And that simply won't work in the next 12 to 18 months. You've got to give them everything up front. Some may go and do it themselves, 5% may go and do it themselves, but they were going to be terrible customers anyway. The 95% just want to know that you know what you're talking about.
Yes. And there's so much noise and clutter out there at the moment. This really means if you're providing the best quality content and you're putting real thought into it, that is definitely going to stand out. I can't remember the exact statistics, Wes, but I know that an organisation in the UK polled, you know, thousands of their audience, and a high percentage, I mean, around 60 to 70% of them said that the content that was out there was just not hitting the mark at all. It was clutter. It was just noise. And we certainly don't want to be spending time for our content just to sit there as part of the clutter. You've already mentioned that we don't want to include any hint of selling in our content. We need it to be really high quality profile. Are there other things that you see people doing that are still maybe from yesteryear and that they need to change immediately because otherwise they're just not going to generate the success that they want in the content creation?
We've got to really think outside the box. And if we spot the trend is that, you know, multinationals, big business, would traditionally go and spend, you know, $250,000, $300,000 creating a 30-second infomercial, putting it on television. But what we're seeing right now is we're seeing the same businesses spending $250,000 producing a one-minute Facebook commercial because they're taking the platform so seriously. Mm. We need to think the same if we want to be on that platform. So, you know, just as an example off the cuff, I was talking to a social media agency the other day who we coach, which is always ironic. But I said, listen, we've got a story to tell, and it was the year of the rooster. It was Chinese New Year, the year of the rooster. Why don't you, go and create a profile for Rory the Rooster and apply what you're doing to that profile, build a massive following, story, like capture the entire story through the journey and make it into some content at the end. Mm-hmm. Because what that does is, you know, it's not just like put up a video to see if we can get some likes, which is swimming in the shallow end of the pool. It's creating a story that people can enter and join along with. And that's what gives one company the real props that they know what they're talking about. For example, one of our clients is a chicken caravan. They make caravans for chickens. So we story told the product from a chick's perspective from one day old. And we filmed content like 3 inches off the floor of the caravan to make it look like it was through the eyes of a chick. Like, it's just fun. It's just creative. And it just gets people into a story. And you get to brag about your business without needing to brag about your business.
Yeah. I mean, how many of those videos and stories that are done so well that you've watched, and then right at the end, there's just a small little line and you think, that was brilliant. Because attention, people's attention these days is what everyone's vying for. And people are not giving it as freely as they did. Are there any other things that you think we really need to start to consider if we're going to really allow ourselves to think out of the box to create content that really is going to wow our audience?
I think the thing to consider is we are actually never going to know what does make them go wow. So we're not talking here about producing one piece of amazing content and hoping it works. This needs to become a lifestyle now where we're always putting out amazing content. Some of the stuff that I thought for our company that would be amazing and go viral flopped. Yeah. And some stuff that I thought wasn't amazing went viral.
Yeah.
So we're never actually going to know by sitting on the other side. So the only way around that is lots of amazingly, you know, good, valuable, creative content. And the market will tell you what they like.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I have done the same over the years too, created something, put so much time and energy and effort into it, and it's crickets. And other times you put something else, still put the same, you know, time and effort in it, and you don't really think it's going to go anywhere, and people just love it. So let's talk about then some of the videos that we see online now, because we know that Facebook Live is something that many people are starting to embrace. However, just what do you think about some of the videos where people are creating, which really you can see that not much thought has gone into it? They might be showing something that they've eaten or what they're having for lunch, and it really has nothing to do with their brand or their business. What do you think about some of those sort of ad hoc Facebook Live videos that we see on our feeds?
I think that's a great question, because I'm like, Nazi, you should never, ever put anything that's not valuable. Because, I mean, I know in my world, like everybody, I'm busy. So if I follow someone and then I see that they're doing a Facebook Live and you know, last week it was some good valuable advice, and this week it's a good valuable advice, but next week it's like watching the kid bounce on a trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just don't give people any time anymore. It's like, cool, if that's what Facebook Live is now for you, I'm out, I'll go find somebody else.
Yeah.
I think we've got, I mean, there are other ways to show the human element, but I don't think it should be through things like Facebook Live. I think that's where people are now going to get their information.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the minute it's a Facebook Live of you and your cute little child when they just woke up is really damaging to the profile.
Yeah.
I think you can do that a different way. Or you make your Facebook Live totally about your family, but I don't think you want to be mixing the two. I think they need to be, like, if it's your serious business platform, it's just, you can still have the human element, but wrapped around good quality, valuable information.
Yeah, that there is something, there's a takeaway that someone looks at it and thinks, that's a great way of, you know, thinking about that. You've got a special angle that you bring into the storyline. And I totally agree. I mean, content, and this really goes back to what you said before, content for content's sake, that just does not land anymore. We expect more because, yeah, I mean, there is so much great information that we can access on the internet. If we suddenly watch a video Facebook Live, which really is not providing any value whatsoever, we're just going to get turned off from it for sure. Are there any other things that you can see happening that you think we need to stop? We need to be aware that this just no longer is something that's going to build your brand. It actually tarnishes your reputation.
I think inconsistency has probably always been a major issue. I think people need to be able to count on you. So if we go back to Facebook Live as an example, what is it? It's the 2017 version of Channel 7, 9, and 10. If you want it to be, it's that powerful. If you deliver one day and then the next day, and then you're not on for 3 days, and then you deliver one day and then you're not on for a week, you know, you wouldn't put up with a TV show that operated that way. You would just go find another TV show. You know, the reason why TV channels can build such a following is because you know that 7 p.m. on Tuesday night is your favorite TV show. So we need to be able to compete on that level. So, for example, one that I did a series of Facebook Lives at the end of last year, and this was just a big social experiment for me. I did a Facebook Live every morning at 6 a.m. Queensland, 7 a.m. New South Wales, Victoria, 4 a.m. Perth. And I did every morning for 21 days on a business tips, you know, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, something every single morning. And all I wanted to find out was, from a standing start of zero, without it spending any money on promotion, could I build a following that would join me at the same time every day? And it was amazing. It was amazing. From literally like three people diving in on day one to 7,000 reach on day 21 at the end.
Wow.
You know, just getting people to follow along a story and tune in. And, you know, now we go to seminars across the country and ask the question, who dialed into that? And it was a huge amount. They may have only popped in for 1 minute once or 1 minute a day, or they came to all of them. But you know, that's the brand back in front of them, as you know, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super powerful. Whereas when I, you know, if I did 3 days and then took a week off and then went out bush and then came back and tried to reinvent it again and then leave, it just simply would have no cut through.
Yeah. And that's such a good lesson, no matter what we're doing. Consistency is key. And how often, and I point the finger at myself, do we do something and then we think, oh, that really didn't work, but we didn't do it long enough. We weren't consistent enough. And I think for whatever, even some content, and I love what you said, was share some things and see what the audience, you know, what the audience, the feedback is. And then, but you need to provide content consistently across various elements so that you can start to monitor and track what really was well accepted. What can I continue to create more about? Look, I think everything that you've shared is absolutely valuable, and there's some great, great insights there to share. Let's switch to the area that we wanted to talk about as well today, about how businesses should benefit society. So not just ourselves as a business owner and obviously the teams that we work with, but also society and the community as a whole. Let's talk a little bit about that.
I've been a business guy, so I always thought, like, in my early years, I thought business was so that I could have a whole bunch of nice things, nice houses, nice cars, you know, and all the trappings that go with it. And nothing inherently wrong with any of those things. But as I got a bit older, I realized, hang on a minute, you know, like, you know, I'm one of the 1%. Like, it's not fair on the 99, you know, and And I don't necessarily mean the people in Australia. I think in Australia, you know, it's fairly even. Everybody has a good chance of success. I don't mean that. But I mean, on a global scale, there's some people that really need help. And so I went and studied capitalism. I wanted to know what capitalism is because it's fairly flawed in 2017. The problem is it's still the best model that we've got.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and studied it, and I realized that back in its when it was originally formed, capitalism in essence was simply no more than go into business, make more money than you need, keep some for yourself, and use the rest to benefit other people. That was it. That was the purest form of capitalism. Was it wasn't about you as the individual. It was about contribution.
Yes.
And so it's been twisted, of course. You know, Wall Street have made it, you know, what it is today, which is, you know, cross any moral boundary to get a shareholder return.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to operate like that. As individuals, we can just choose to go back to true capitalism, which is, you know, go into business, make more than you need, keep some for yourself and your family, and give the rest away.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did, and that's what we, you know, teach our clients to do. And it's not the big glamorous business life that you know that you see on Instagram. It's just good and wholesome.
Yeah. And you mentioned, as I said earlier in your profile, that you've got some really great case studies, that you've seen businesses that are growing really fast and that really are benefiting and contributing to society. Do you have any stories that you want to share of how this has happened for some of the businesses that you've seen this happen for?
I mean, I can give you the whole spectrum from small to big. I mean, and in fact, they're not better or worse. You know, we got a little printing business in Brisbane that we trained how to grow his business, and he caught this of, you know, other people need to benefit. And so he started funding a breakfast program. He went to the local chaplain, who's always struggling for funding. They feed the children. And they don't have food. So he said, okay, let me, you know, I'll chip in and buy you the bread and the eggs, you know, for your weekly morning breakfast. And so, you know, whatever that cost him, he did it, and his business started to increase and prosper. And so he went back and said, listen, I can pay for a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then business prospered. So he went to 3 schools, and then his business prospered even more. And now I think that at the end of last year, he ran a breakfast program fully funded out of his printing business and fed 800 children one morning.
Yeah.
You know, and of course that's not going to make headline news in the Australian, but it does for those kids that got to eat.
Yes.
And so, we've got, you know, like us as an organization, we fund a series of seminars around the country,
mm-hmm.
You know, much bigger investment, much bigger at stake, much more at stake, but that's, you know, we make a large profit, and we put some of that into helping people that typically cannot afford to go to expensive seminars and coaching programs. So we put on events and we ask for nothing in return,
mm-hmm.
and train people up that way. You know, I've got clients that make hundreds of millions and use that as a lobby group to change policy for better, you know. So all the way through the spectrum, I mean, there are literally so many stories. I've got another one of a lady who really felt on her heart that she was called to help. This is a very specific one. She felt like she was called to help South African wives that when they moved to Australia struggle to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
So the husband races off, and because they're South African, usually charge, you know, starts 3 or 4 businesses because they're very entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
The kids go to school. The mum's left at home, and that can be awkward. So she said, okay, I'm going to start to befriend them and take them out for tea. And literally, you know, business was funding her doing high tea parties for all these ladies and helping them assimilate into Australian society and giving them a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not earth-shattering on a global scale, but it is to those people that she was able to help. And so it really doesn't matter whether you're funding projects for hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, or millions of dollars. It's just about making sure that, because if we all decided to do this, we would create a culture where everybody prospers.
Yes.
And you know, for me, this all drives from my faith. My faith is, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe that, you know, the Bible wants to create a world where everybody prospers. And that's the reason why we would choose to live a life where others benefit as well as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't playing ourselves down to the point where we have a horrible life. This is about us enjoying the journey as well as taking some people with us.
Yeah. Well, seeing a smile on the face and hearing, I'm sure if you look at the printer, the feedback that he's getting from the schools and the parents and the children, just hearing the impact and knowing the impact that he's having in itself is just huge. It's just massive, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he feels alive more than he ever has before.
Yeah.
You know, he writes me emails to update me every, you know, 4 or 5 months, and they're like the longest emails you've ever seen in your life.
Yes.
Because he's just so pumped with what he's able to do.
Yeah. Have you heard of Kiva Loans? They provide loans to entrepreneurs, but in developing countries. Have you heard mm-hmm. of Kiva? Well, we are actually partnering with one of our clients, and it's a whole project that we're putting together. But we're donating all of the profits that will come out of the 12 months to the Kiva Loans. And yeah, and what I also want to do is approach Kiva. Don't know this yet, but we will approach once the ball starts rolling. We're in the process just finalizing all of the details, but we will approach them. There may be a number of people who they do donate to that we can follow along the storyline and from the beginning, and then check in, see how they're doing. And because I know you probably heard of this, the internet in some of these developing countries is even more powerful than the internet that we have here in Australia. So
that's not hard, Anne-Marie.
No, I know. So there's, I'm sure
there. Do we even have the internet yet, or do we still have those hamsters on the wheel?
I know. In Kenya and some of these places that you think, do they even have the internet? They've got more mobile phones than we have, which is just incredible. And I thought, you know, just to be able to share. Because they really don't have anything. They're so entrepreneurial because they have to be. Mm. And we think, my goodness, you know, with the odds stacked against them. But boy, I mean, those would be some great success stories that we can't wait to share it all as well. Mm. So I mentioned earlier on, you know, the Australian GDP, some figures and things like that, that really this does not matter. The macro economy matters not one bit to Australia's SME market. What would you say, if you were to sum up, what really should we be focused on as an SME in the Australian market?
Well, I think it's easy to get caught up in the hype of what's going on. Mm. I think, you know, if you are a multinational, then you do have to consider macroeconomics for sure. But a small business really doesn't. The beauty of small business, I mean, a lot of people think it's a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's quick, it's nimble, it can pivot on the spot, it can find another product, it can go into a new market, and that's like big business don't have that luxury. For them to change is a decade. You know, during the GFC of 2008, 2009, 2010, you know, there was this massive uproar, and of course it did affect people. I'm not saying there was nobody that was affected. It affected people. Usually the people that had way too much debt at the time were the people that got caught. But really, GDP nationally only dropped 6%, which means there was still 94% of the money flowing and opportunities flowing than there was pre-GFC. Mm. It just depends how you viewed it as to how much it affected what you were doing. But, you know, that could all happen again tomorrow. We could have another one tomorrow. I'm not saying we are. I don't think we will. But I'm saying if we did have another one tomorrow, our job is still to look at our conversion rate and get it up 3% and find, you know, negotiate with our suppliers to pick up another 4% margin and, you know, to go and market and to, you know, get another 9 customers and to, you know, get our customers to come back more often. Mm-hmm. The fundamental things of the business is just where we should be putting our attention. The business strategy to growing it is where our attention should be. And if we are looking at those little things and, you know, breaking into new markets and, you know, employing better staff members and, you know, whatever, those fundamental, if we're focused on those things, you'll look up 3 years down the line, the whole macro economy could have fallen apart and you'll have a bigger business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it just doesn't matter to a small to medium enterprise if you're focused on actually growing the business.
Mm-hmm. So often we can get distracted, can't we, by listening to the things that are being mentioned in the news and on the media, and that distracts us from what we really should be focusing on. So it's great to hear you to share that. Now, this is an area that you certainly support your clients in. How can people find out more about you and your business?
Well, I mean, we put out a lot of content, as you can imagine, on Facebook specifically. So we've got a page there called Business Greenhouse. That's our organization, Business Greenhouse. It's just a play on words because we grow businesses and we grow people.
Mm-hmm.
And we put out content every single day on there, you know, video and photo and stuff like that. Instagram as well, but actually under my name, Wez Hone, Wezhone. And then, of course, you know, we run seminars all across the country all the time. Between between September last year and January this year, we did 40 events.
Wow.
Actually upped the family. We lived full time in a caravan.
Wow.
And we did 40 events from North Queensland to Melbourne whilst traveling as a family, which was both bitter and sweet. And yeah, so I mean, we're always around. We're always likely to be in the area anyway, you know, running trainings and seminars. But, you know, our website, businessgreenhouse.com.au, has content on it, videos and things like that. But I would say the most engaging place where we put out most of our content is through our Facebook page, Business Greenhouse.
Fantastic. And we'll put all of those details on the show notes as well. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insights, Wes. Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure, Anne-Marie.
Are you a specialist who supports small business? And you want to increase your visibility, reach, and influence with your own podcast channel, but you don't want to handle the back-end management and ongoing promotion of your show? The Ambitious Entrepreneur Podcast Network is on the lookout for a select group of specialists who are ready to become an influencing voice in their industry. So if you're an aspiring podcast host, or if you have an existing business-focused podcast, and you're looking for ways to increase your exposure, reach, and results by leveraging our podcast network platform, let's talk. To find out more, go to www.ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/podcast host. That's www.ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/podcast host. The voice for entrepreneurs and small business.
Well, that brings us to the end of another show. I know that you were inspired. You've got lots of notes. And go and check out all of the different resources that Wes showed and shared on today's show, especially the Facebook group there. We'll put all the notes and ways to contact him on our show notes. By the way, for those of you who have subscribed to our iTunes channel, thank you so much. That means you're going to be the very first person to know once we release another show. As you know, we have a new guest expert each and every week. Now, if you don't want to miss out, you haven't subscribed already, that's okay, you can subscribe over at ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/AES iTunes. And if you know of someone who you think would be a great guest on the show, shout out, let me know about them, and we'll feature them on an upcoming show. And if that happens to you, reach out as well. We want to feature you so that you can inspire other ambitious entrepreneurs. That's me for another week. Have a fantastic week. See you later. Bye, Wes.